and Davy Jones.
And this is Chris from Subatomic Pieces. What am I wearing? Today I'm wearing some comfortable shorts and Vans and a t-shirt. I'm out in the backyard working hard trying to prepare for a little barbecue this afternoon.
How's the weather in Norman today?
It looks like it might rain on us a little bit. I think we got a little bit of rain last night. The last few days have been gorgeous and actually kind of cool, so we're getting more of a spring this year than we ever really get. Usually around here, spring lasts for about a week and a half, and then it shoots up to 100 degrees and stays that way all summer. But it's been in the mid-70s and pretty nice and sunny lately.
Right on.
Great. So I understand you guys are going to spend your afternoon having a little barbecue get-together. Who's coming over? What are you eating?
My friend Mickey Reese from a band around here called El Paso Hot Button, a one-man band. He is bringing his girlfriend over, so it's going to be those two, and then my wife and I. Her name's Crystal, and I think we're grilling shrimp and veggie kebabs, and then my wife is making a pasta salad with broccoli and cauliflower and some good pasta and dressing, and then for dessert we have a honeydew. And we're making strawberry shortcakes.
That's great. So what's the deal with you Oklahomans and shrimp? We just talked to Ryan Lindsay, and he had just eaten shrimp.
That's not surprising at all. we're so far from the ocean that we get most of our seafood is blown in frozen. And shrimp just seems to handle the process of freezing and then thawing and cooking best.
Well,
it's real easy to find shrimp around here.
Could you finish the story for us, Chris?
Sure.
I'll start with this. Once upon a time, there was a guy named Chris, and you can fill in the rest.
Oh, Lord. Once upon a time, there was a guy named Chris, and his plate was constantly too full, and he was always working himself and spreading himself too thin. And then one day, he realized that for as much time and hard effort as he was putting in working for the man, in this case it was the local telephone company, so I was putting in 10 or 12 hours a day for them and then coming home and trying to work on music and trying to get a studio off the ground, I realized that if I was working as hard on the things that I loved as I was working on telephones all day long, that I probably would have been really successful by then. So I decided that was it for working for the corporation, and set about kind of recording local bands and trying to actually spend the time that I should have always been spending on the band. The band's been around for years and years and years, and for the first, I don't know, probably for the first 10 years or so, we were kind of like Doyle's band on Sling Blade, where we would just like get together and hang out, and it was just hanging out and jamming, and we never really took anything seriously. We were just playing, and most of that time we were just young and didn't know what to do, so we didn't play many shows unless it was parties, or we just had a hard time kind of keeping it together. And once I left my day job and started doing music stuff full time, I really kind of immersed myself in the local music scene and figured out how you network and how you make things happen, and that kind of brings me to today. I'm finally happy with doing music.
But that's a good progression, because it started out as a as a creative outlet, right?
Oh yeah.
And then a chance to party, I guess, and hang out with your buddies. But then now it's turned into your career. If anything, that's the kind of progression you would want. Wow.
Right. And,
not many people can say that.
Yeah, I also kind of appreciate a lot of stuff more because I built up my recording studio mm-hmm. from the money that I worked really hard to make. Mm-hmm. And I also, during that time, I was a telephone repairman, so I was riding around in a van most of the time, either listening to music or sort of trying to compose music in my head. So it wasn't a total disaster. I definitely don't think it would be the same if it hadn't happened the way that it happened. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Time well spent.
Yeah.
Mostly.
Yeah.
Paloma and I have an idea about your band name, at where it came from, but why are you called the Subatomic Pieces?
Well, it obviously, yeah, it does come from a Flaming Lips song called When You Smile.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's always, it's my favorite Flaming Lips record, and it's my favorite song on the record. It's always sort of been almost like a theme song for how I feel about the band and just how I feel about life in general. And it ended up being a song that my wife and I had on our wedding video. So it's just it's a song that all around just means a lot to me. So when I heard that line, I think the first time I heard that line, I was just like, oh God, Subatomic Pieces. That's just the perfect band name.
Right on.
That's great. Great. So you have a record out now called Hold Out for Science. And I'm not just saying this, but it is one of my new favorites that I've heard recently. So
awesome.
What are great. Some of your favorite songs from your record?
Let's see. My favorite songs from the record, I really like the opener Probe, mostly from a selfish standpoint that I ended up getting some of my favorite musicians to mm-hmm. sing with me on it. We had Josh Jones from Evangelicals and Justin Rice from Student Film came and sang background vocals on it. So that song just means a lot to me every time I hear it, because those, having your favorite singers sing on your song is just a really special thing. And I think what Sethi McCarroll added on drums on that song, that song started out as just a garage jam when we were really, really young. And when Sethi came into the band, we sort of dug up this old 4-track tape that had that song on it and played it for him. And he loved it, and we thought it had a lot of potential. And what he did to the drums on that song just really made that song. So that's a favorite. And Something to Me and Holding You to the Light, those are probably favorites too. But that's also because those two songs are probably the newest songs that were written for the album, the most recent ones. So I'm more attached to those right now because they're just sort of more where I am right now.
Your title track, Hold Out for Science, is really captivating. Could you tell me a little bit about that song?
We'd gotten together to play one time probably 4 or 5 years ago, and it was me, my friend Brent Wall, who was one of the original members of the band, and Jeff Benefield, who was also the original bass player for the band. And this is when we were still trying to figure out what to do with the band, how to have a band. So we were just getting together and kind of working on ideas, and Brent had played this sort of rough sketch of that song on guitar, and they kind of worked out the bass part, and it just had such a great melody that instantly stuck in my head that I spent the next day driving around working on people's telephones with that melody in my head, and I just started trying to think of lyrics. And at the time, somebody that was really close to me was going through some medical problems and were participating in some sort of experimental treatments with medicines that hadn't fully been tested. They were kind of guinea pigs for this medical treatment. And I started thinking about how hard it was because they kept wanting to give up, and I just kept thinking, if they stick with this, it makes them sort of like a pioneer, like an astronaut or something, as a scientist going into space or going into the lab and trying to do something that could potentially make life better for people further down the line. So that was sort of the inspiration behind it. The idea of Hold Out for Science now kind of takes on a lot more of a meaning with the sort of almost assault on science.
Well, it's a great song. It really is. I really like it.
Thank you.
musicians, living or dead, who would you want to talk to?
I would say, that's a tough one. I would say Kurt Cobain. Kurt Cobain was a huge influence on me, just because I was finishing high school when they first came on the scene, and that was just an exciting time to be discovering new music. So I'd have a lot of fucking questions for that guy. Sorry. John Lennon?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I really, I'm just a huge fan of his stuff. And maybe Thurston Moore?
Yeah.
Awesome.
I really like where they come from. And a lot of their music sort of develops out of weird jams and just noise stuff. And that blows me away. So I'd want to talk to him about noise and alternate guitar tunings.
Very good.
Well, Chris, if you could choose a new gimmick to put in a cereal box, what would it be?
Like a new gimmick to put in a cereal box. Yeah. Like a prize.
Like a prize, yeah.
I don't know, like a little booklet with all the answers, you know, how to fly.
That's great.
A little tiny booklet that really told you how to make all the dreams that you have really happen. That's what I would want, a little instruction book for making dreams come true.
That's great.
I think that's what every kid wants.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
every kid pretty much gets what they want in their dreams, so just a little way to make it a reality would be pretty awesome.
Wow. Well, it'd certainly make for a better world, that's for sure.
Yeah. Here's a question for you. Does Ryan Lindsay cheat at Mafia?
I don't know that he necessarily cheats, but he's just really, really good at it. And he plays it off like he's not good. Like he always plays it off like there's nothing going on, but you can kind of just see the little wheels turning in there. And
mm-hmm.
I definitely, from the night that we played Mafia until the end of that tour, I didn't trust much that came out of his mouth.
You know, I tried to play rock, paper, scissors with him. Uh-huh. And he totally cheated.
Cheated?
So he was cheated.
He a rock... late thrower?
Yeah, totally.
Oh, well.
I was, yeah. You know, I thought he was so nice and innocent, and he turned out not to be.
No, he's a really great guy, but when it comes to competition, he's serious about his competition.
What do you love best about the place you live in?
I like it best because the cost of living is ridiculously steep. And the people, for the most part, as backwards as some of them are, people here are just genuinely nice and kind-hearted.
Mm.
You know, and it's great to run into nice people all the time. Now, the place where I live specifically in Norman, the thing that I love about Norman is that it's a little bit isolated from some of the ignorance that you get in some of the more rural areas of Oklahoma. So I'm a people watcher and eavesdropper, and I like to be able to sit in a restaurant and overhear an intelligent conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So living in a college town, sort of, I just feel a lot more comfortable. Mm. And I started coming to Norman as soon as I got my driver's license. I lived in a pretty small town, and I started coming here as soon as I could drive every weekend and just kind of fell in love with the town. It's a really hard place to leave. I don't know if any amount of success or, you know, money could get me to move away from Norman.
Great. Well, do you have any last words, anything, any final words before we get to the grand finale?
Just kind of to emphasize the fact that our situation as a band is a little bit unique, because I am 33 years old now, and I'm sort of getting to a point in my career with the music engineering stuff that I don't necessarily ever foresee a time when the Subatomic Pieces are going to be able to get out and just slog it out on the road
mm-hmm.
for months at a time. So I encourage people to check out our MySpace page and see kind of what we have to offer and give our album a chance. The more people that get into the CD and let us know how much they like it, the better chance we have of being able to justify getting out on the road mm-hmm. and coming to see you and play for you. So.
All right, are you ready?
Sure.
All right, give us your best, and I mean your best, pirate impression.
Shiver me timbers.
Very good, man. Hey,
I figured everybody does the R, so.
They do, yes.
This is Chris Harris of the Subatomic Pieces we're talking to at piratepods.com. Thanks a lot, Chris.
Thank you. I wonder if
The city light tries to shut me down.